Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that we're able to gather on this Lord's Day. We thank you, Lord, for the beauty of this time of the year. Oh, it's not like spring, it's not like summer, but it's got a beauty all of its own because it's a reminder to each of us that in the bleakness of winter that there is the promise of spring. We pray now that you'd fill our hearts to overflowing with your love and grace that we might go out to change our world. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing, "I Need Thee Every Hour." Your worship folder and on the screen is our litany for today. It is entitled The Beatitudes. Let us pray for the poor.
And work faithfully to stamp out poverty.
Let us pray for those who mourn.
While doing all in our power to prevent needless grief.
Let us pray for the meek.
And assist them in their right to life and liberty.
Let us pray for those who hunger and thirst.
As we join them in the struggle to meet the rightful needs of all God's children.
Let us pray for the merciful.
While making sure we are numbered among them.
Let us pray for the pure in heart.
While like them, we search diligently for God's will.
Let us pray for peacemakers.
And devote ourselves to the pursuit of peace and justice.
Let us pray for those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake.
As we invest all our resources to put an end to their persecution. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning.
You may be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share? Oh my, okay, thank you. Be in prayer for Linda as she begins the healing process this week. Yes.
Kind of came suddenly, a little quicker than they
expected. Okay, thank you. Do be in prayer for Washington, D.C. this week. There's going to be some turmoil, folks. And, you know, with all due respect to freedom of speech and all that sort of thing, I believe there are times and there are places. So be in prayer for all of those involved in everything going on up there this week. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your watch care over us. We thank you, Lord, for those who are back who haven't been here in a while. We pray that you'd keep your healing hand upon them. We pray that you'd be with those who are facing procedures and surgeries and recuperation and therapies and everything that goes with it. We pray that as a great physician that your healing hand would be upon them today. We thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. Remind us in the midst of these 2 weeks plus when we haven't seen much of it, that it's still there. Just a few hundred feet above us, the sun is shining brightly and the skies are a bright blue. We've just got some clouds here that keep us from seeing it. Remind us that it's there. Likewise, Lord, in life, when the clouds move in and when it seems to darken, remind us that your love and your watch care are still with us. You promised you would never, ever leave us or forsake us, Lord. We pray today that you would be with our men and women in the services, wherever they may be. Watch over them and keep them safe. And be with their families, Lord. We pray that you would be with all of our leaders, incoming and outgoing. We pray that you would speak to their hearts. We pray, Lord, that you would remind them that we got to where we are because we are one nation under God. We pray this week as the
inauguration takes place, that you would empower those who are coming into power, Lord. May they realize it's your power, it's your hand, it's your grace. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Thank you that we have the privilege of being here in the United States of America. May we not take our freedoms for granted or take them lightly. Meet with us now, Lord. Prepare Rockwood United Methodist Church for a great year, not because of anyone, but because of whose we are, because of whom we're serving. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've got prepared for us. May we be ready to do our part, and we'll give you the praise. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come, please? And ushers, while you're coming, when you get done with the offering, if you could open up some of these doors here, not the doors going outside, but some of the sanctuary doors, maybe we'll get a little more air circulating in here. It's not too often in the middle of January we have that problem, but it is a little bit warm today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of your blessings. We are so blessed, Lord. You've given us so much. We pray now that you would bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen.
Standing as we sing Satisfied. The words will be on the screen.
Reading from the 5th chapter of Matthew. One day, as the crowds were gathering, Jesus went up into the mountainside with his disciples and sat down to teach them. This is what he taught them. God blesses those who realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is given to them. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are gentle and lowly, for the whole earth will belong to them. God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty for justice. They will receive it in full. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted because they live for God, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when you are mocked and persecuted and lied about because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted too. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Tell me the stories of Jesus. I love to hear things I would ask him to tell me if he were here.
During the coming weeks, we're going to be taking a look at God's directions for us in the Sermon on the Mount. This hillside sermon that Jesus preached starts with what we commonly call the Beatitudes. Now, over on the west side of the Sea of Galilee is Mount Arbel. The mountain has a very bloody history. The Assyrians killed many Israelites by forcing them off the cliff at the top of this mountain. Later, the historian Josephus tells us how the Seleucid general Bacchides captured the mountain and executed many people there. As Herod the Great rose to power, he too killed many of the Jews who opposed him, slaughtering them on the same mountain. They would hide in the caves on its sheer north side, and Herod's men would be let down over the side in baskets and would pull them out of the caves, forcing them off the cliffs to their death below. The Zealots were a militant group within Judaism that had declared war on Rome. Every zealot carried a dagger under his robe, and he dreamed of the day when he might be able to stick that dagger into a Roman centurion. Zealots believed that God wanted his people free, and believing that, they vowed to accept death before becoming a slave to Caesar. The zealots found those caves on Mount Arbel to be a perfect hideout. They could carry out their terrorist raids and then climb back up into the caves. They slept in the caves, they ate in the caves, they built their weapons in the caves. Perhaps even this particular day, as Jesus was preaching, in the distance could be heard the sound of metal striking metal as the zealot blacksmiths in the caves hammered out daggers and swords to use against the enemy. As Jesus spoke of hope on that hillside, the sound of war could be heard. On the right, perhaps standing by themselves, may have been the Pharisees. They agreed with what they heard Jesus say. They believed in the resurrection, they cared for the poor, and that God can and does heal. However, uppermost in the minds of the Pharisees was protecting the law. They believed that the key was to obey the law of Moses and the oral laws set forth by the rabbis. Perhaps over on the other side and back toward the back may have been the Sadducees. The Sadducees did not care much about people. They believed that people got what they deserved. If they were poor or sick or unemployed, then God wanted them to be poor or sick or unemployed. And who are we to argue with God? They believed also that it was better to be rich and powerful and nicely dressed, even if it meant to have those things that we needed to cooperate with the Romans. Also in the crowd, there were probably some zealots who had come down from Mount Arbel and were enemies of anybody that was a friend with Rome. The rest of the crowd was crowd. There were fishermen and farmers and tax collectors, teachers, cancer patients, women, children, just common folk. They all wanted to hear something that would give them a note of hope. For those of you that look forward to a thing called football time in Tennessee, I heard about a football team who lost a key game in their schedule, 78-0. The offense couldn't do anything right. The defense missed tackles. Special teams looked terrible. The team was not looking forward to practice the next day. As they gathered in the locker room and as the coach got up to speak, all of them were shocked because he was surprisingly mellow. As he stood in front of them, he said, "Gentlemen, after yesterday's game, I have decided that we need to get back to basics." With that, he held up a football and he says, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Now, that's getting back to basics, and that's exactly what Jesus was doing here on the mountainside that day. He was getting back to the basics with the disciples. And as he began to speak, his words seemed almost contradictory. We need to realize that God's way usually contradicts the world's way. If we want to live for God, we must be ready to do and say what seems strange to the world. We must be willing to give when others seem only to take. We must be willing to love when others seem so full of hate. We must be willing to help when so many others seem to abuse. By yielding our lives to Jesus Christ, by giving up our own rights to serve others, one day we will receive everything that God has for us. Isaiah 57:15 says, "The high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, the Holy One says this, I live in that high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I refresh the humble and give new courage to those with repentant hearts." Let me give you four legitimate ways in which we might understand the Beatitudes. First of all, they were a code of ethics for the disciples and a standard of conduct for all believers. Secondly, they contrast kingdom values, that which is eternal, with worldly values, that which is temporal. Third, they contrast religiosity, like what the Pharisees had, with the real faith that Christ requires of his followers. Then fourthly, they show how Old Testament expectations will be fulfilled in the new kingdom. Now we need to realize this morning the Beatitudes are not multiple choice. Okay, it's not a matter of picking the ones you like and leaving out the ones you don't like. They must be taken as a whole. They describe what you and I should be like as followers of Jesus Christ. Any or all of these give us food for thought. Now, as we look at the Beatitudes, they can be categorized very easily. In verse 3, they talk about our attitudes toward self. Verses 4 through 6, our attitude towards sin. Verses 7 through 9, our attitude toward the Lord. And verses 10 through 16, our attitude toward the world. The Beatitudes teach us how to be beatus, or blessed by God. The word makarios here, blessed, doesn't necessarily mean happy. I've seen interpretations where they try to say, happy are you. Happy are those who mourn? I don't think so. It doesn't imply being blissful. It doesn't imply being fulfilled. The Beatitudes don't promise laughter or pleasure or earthly prosperity. Being blessed by God means the experience of hope and joy in spite of outward circumstances. Classic example, sitting right down here. All that Linda has gone through and all that she's going through, you talk to her and she said, oh, I'm doing great. Ain't that right? Yes. Not because of what's happening, but in spite of. To find joy and hope in the deepest form of happiness, to follow Jesus no matter what the cost, that's what we're talking about here. What it is probably saying is, close to God or near to the heart of God are those who. Then it goes on. In the King James, it talks about being poor in spirit. And that doesn't mean being a wishy-washy doormat type of believer. When we realize our need for God, we're being humble. We sang this morning, I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. That's what we're talking about. With Jesus' announcement that the kingdom was near, people were asking, how do I sign up? You know, I want to be a part of it. And Jesus said, in the kingdom of heaven, wealth and power and authority are not important. Kingdom people seek different blessings and benefits, and they have different attitudes. Are our attitudes a carbon copy of the world's selfishness, pride, and lust for power? Or do they reflect the humility and self-sacrifice of Jesus, our King? Here's what Jesus was trying to teach us about being humble or poor in spirit. First of all, when we are humble, we trust God completely. The word that's used in the scriptures for the poor doesn't mean somebody that's just not really living high on the hog. It doesn't mean we're just getting by. It means we're flat broke. Okay, and there's a big difference there. There's a difference between being poor and being flat broke, and being flat broke is what the scriptures are talking about. Somebody that has no other option but to trust God completely. Missionary John Patton was working with a group of people in the western corner of Africa. He was trying to interpret the scriptures into their native language. As he worked on that Bible, he discovered that in their language, they had no word for believe. He wrestled with that for quite some time, trying to figure out how to put it into the scripture. And one day, as he was working on that, one of the natives came in and sat down in a chair and said a phrase in a native tongue that the missionary couldn't understand. And he asked him, he says, "What does that phrase mean?" The native said, "How wonderful it is when you're tired to lean your whole weight on something." There was what the missionary needed, to be able to talk about believing. We sing that chorus that says, "Learning to lean, learning to lean, I'm learning to lean on Jesus." That's what we're talking about there. When we get to that point where we've got to have something to lean on. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will direct your paths." John 3, 30 says, "He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less." Number two, when we're humble, we treat everyone with respect. Henry Drummond, in his book, The Greatest Thing in the World, said half the world is on the wrong scent of the pursuit of happiness. They think happiness consists of having and getting, and in being served by others, while the opposite is true. Real happiness consists in sharing and giving and in serving others. Someone has rightly said that when a woman is looking for a man to spend her life with, one of the criterion that she should put right up there at the top is in how he treats those in service jobs like waiters and waitresses. If he treats most people well but doesn't show respect for those who wait on him, run the other way. A number of years ago, a drunken bum in New York was found lying on a trash heap. He had a head wound and his throat had been slashed. He was almost dead. No doubt the doctors and nurses had seen hundreds just like this one, and would probably see hundreds more. He was sewn up, but a short time later, he died in the hospital, alone, friendless, and broke. Do you remember the songs, "Oh Susanna," "Camp Town Races," "Genie with the Light Brown Hair," "Old Folks at Home," "My Old Kentucky Home"? These and more than 200 more were written by this drunken bum who died alone in Bellevue Hospital in New York City at the age of 38. His name, as you know, was Stephen Foster. One day, Michelangelo was sculpting furiously at a piece of marble. Someone asked him, "Why are you working so hard?" He responded, "There's an angel in this stone, and I must set it free." What if you and I were able to see the image of God in all of our brothers and sisters? I'm inclined to think that the way that we treated them would change drastically. What if every person you met, every person you encountered, every person you saw on TV, if you're able to look at them and see the image of God in there, would that change your attitude and your action and reaction toward them? What if we believed Jesus were right here in the service today? In somebody that's here. I don't believe he's just going to be floating around up there. What if he were here in somebody that's in this service today? Would that change how you treat each other? Several years ago, I had a lady stop in my office. And she told me, "Pastor," she said, "I've been coming to this church for 3 weeks. And in the course of those 3 weeks, only one person has spoke to me. Boy, did I have my sermon ready for the next Sunday." Think about it, folks. Jesus is here. Look around. Finally, number three, when we're humble, we appreciate every day. What we are is God's gift to us. What we become is our gift to God. As we make the most of each moment, sharing God's gift with the world, we are in reality giving back to God. One of my several favorite movies is going to be in season in a couple weeks. Have you seen the movie Groundhog Day? I don't know how many times I've watched that thing. But you remember in that movie from back in 1993, Bill Murray gets to live February 2nd, Groundhog Day, over and over and over and over and over again, until he gets it right. Now, the interesting thing is, as you see him going through this continuous cycle, every morning he wakes up and it's February 2nd again. He tries everything in the world to change it, but nothing helps. So little by little, he starts grasping the fact that there are things that he ought to be doing. So by the time he gets to the end, he's helping all kinds of people, he's saving lives and all this sort of thing. And the last cycle going around, he does not have one more minute in that day than he had in the first one. He's just learned how to live it more fully. Now, I don't care who's in the White House. Well, I do care, but it's irrelevant at this moment. That person, as powerful as they may be, does not have one more minute in their day than you and I have in ours. I don't care who you want to talk about down through the annals of history. Doesn't matter how great and wonderful they were and how much they accomplished. They didn't have any more time in their day than you and I have in ours. Our entrustment, our stewardship to God includes making the most of each moment, each talent, and each opportunity for service. God has blessed each one of us with gifts and graces that can make a difference in Rockwood, Tennessee, in Roane County, throughout the United States of America, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. What are we doing with these gifts and graces? Blessed are those. We have to learn first to completely trust in God. And then because of the love and grace that God shows to you and me, we need to show that love and grace and respect to others. And then we learn to live out each moment of our lives in thanksgiving and praise to God. May you have a blessed 2017. And this morning we've seen the first part of how to bring that to pass. Heavenly Father, we spend so much of our time and our energy and our thoughts focused on things that are not going to last. Help us today that we might get our eyes and hearts focused on you. The songwriter said, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and then the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Help us that we might do that today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
With us as we sing Without Him.
May you leave here ready to serve him and allow others to see him shining through you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.